Amen.
Now the time of scripture reading, taken from Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Then the ten heard this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Please be seated. Let's invite Pastor Lee Kai for today.
So sorry to chase you down while you're speaking. Yeah, today is International Women's Day, so we want to congratulate to the ladies around, you know, Miss Happy Women's Day. And that's why the theme today is just to suit you. The crown is for you, ladies. The cup is, and the cross is for the guys. Yeah. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us here. You want to invite your presence to be among us. Steal our heart to listen to your still small voice. So we're able to discern this is what you're speaking to our heart. We can turn to you and grant us the strength to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The crown, the cup, and the cross. This is a theme for this Sunday. A man was called David. He worked in a company for 15 years. He's a perfect employee, competent, reliable, low profile. He always showed up to do his work, and once it's done, he went home, a solid team player. Then one day, his boss resigned. Now everyone in the office encouraged him, "Why not, David, you take up the role of the boss?" But David shook his head and said that, "You know, I'm not a leader. I'm not the kind of leader, and I don't want the stress. I don't want the meeting. I don't want the responsibility. I'm very comfortable with where I am." And he really meant it, because in his core, he find that his personality is not to be the leader kind. So another man took up the job called Roy. He became the boss of the company. Roy was ambitious. He was charismatic. And very quickly, he was able to gel everybody in the company together. People listened to him, the system worked, and the company profited over the year. And something strange happened to David. One day when they went to the supermarket, David saw Roy talking to the retailer, shaking hands with the supplier. He seems very confident, and there's something fishy that David felt in his stomach. It's not fear. I think it's jealousy. David went home and told his wife, "You know, actually I could take up the job from Roy. I think I could do it better than him." So he started to notice very little things that Roy made mistake in the company. He's going to pick up things that Roy did not do well. And David found himself lying awake at night, imagining that if he's taken out the position and how good he feels, gaining the respect from the people in the company. David didn't want the job of a leader. He didn't want to be burdened. He didn't want to have the pressure. But he craved for the pride behind it. He wanted to feel important. And most importantly, he wanted to feel good about himself. Why is it so? I think because deep down in David's heart, there's a small voice that keeps nudging him, telling him that he's not good enough. The voice of insecurity. And for the moment, David thought that he could actually can take up the job, the position, the recognition, so that one day he can feel good about himself. And so you hear this story about David, we probably shake our head and think about, yeah, how come David is like that? But if we are brutally honest to ourselves, we are actually this David. We are people caught in this contradiction. We fear the weight of the cross, but at the same time, we crave for the glory of the crown. We want the security of obscurity, but we also crave for the validation from others. And 2,000 years ago, James and John had the same encounter. They requested Jesus, and that request exposed their insecurity in their heart. They didn't ask for the cross, they asked for the crown. And that's how we get into this story, to see what Jesus had to say to this David in John and James, and also in all of us here. So the three main points of today's sermon is the crown we crave, the cup we avoid, and the cross that free us. The crown we crave. James and John came before Jesus and asked him, "We want you to do what? To do for us whatever we ask." The word want expressed the desire in James and John. What is their desire? What is something that they want? To sit beside left and right of Jesus in his glory. You know, in the ancient day, beside the king, the left and right, these are the second most important people. So to sit in the right, left and right of the king, that means you have the highest honor. Other than the king, you are being highly exalted. But over here, Jesus did not rebuke them for such a desire. Because the following verse say that instead, whoever wants to become great. So Jesus did not dismiss the desire of significance. He actually corrected them and redefined it through servanthood. The reason is because we are all created in the image of God. We are all designed to reflect His glory, just like the moon reflects the light from the sun. Our soul is made to reflect the glory of God, the greatness of God. However, this craving for greatness has been corrupted by since the fall. And James and John's deep down who crave for the crown is because of insecurity. The moment our relationship is broken with God, we start to manufacture our own glory because of insecurity. And how do we do that? How do we manufacture the glory of God? There are three ways that we manufacture the glory of God, even in our own glory. So the first one is comparison. Comparison. Seeking greatness through elevation over others. Seeking greatness through elevation over others. And this is the most visible way because it's very positional. It's about climbing the ladders. It's about going as high as you can beside the person beside you. That's why when they requested for this to Jesus, the rest of the 10 disciples, they are angry over them. Because what they are requesting is they want to be higher. These two want to be higher among the other 10. They want to rule and lord over them. And this is driven by the insecurity of comparison. The desire to compare with others so that we can feel safe. If you are better than the others, you feel good about yourself. If I sit beside Mark, I feel lousy about myself. If I sit beside Ichi, maybe I feel good about myself. I'm looking whole straight, I can't find someone that can feel, to make me feel good about myself because they're all so tall to compare to me. So that's how we feel good about ourselves. We compare with someone probably not as good as you, probably shorter than me, But someone who's taller than me, oh, you don't feel good about us. And that's how we use comparison to make ourselves feel good, isn't it? Isn't it? The other way that we manufacture our own control, our own glory is through control. Seeking greatness through power over circumstances. When James and John approached Jesus, before this request, they asked Jesus in a way to trap him, to promise them something before they ask. They want a blank check from Jesus so that they can control the result, what Jesus is going to give them. The prayer is like, it is my will, not yours. I think this reveals a deeper issue. They are in need of control to manipulate the outcome in order to feel safe. When they approach Jesus, they want to know, they want the outcome first before they ask for the request. This is a kind of control. So insecurity hates uncertainty. If we can control people around us, we can control our future, then we don't have to trust God for it. And this is driven very much by the insecurity of fear. So we try to be God in our own way, in our own life, so that whatever happens, we can still be in charge of it. So second area that we manufacture our own glory is through control. And that's because of insecurity. The third one is performance, seeking greatness through achievement and recognition. So the thing that they ask for is to sit at the right and the left. This is asking for the seats. It's identity. It's about their identity. They want a visible proof. And this visible proof is a positional thing. It's something that they can see. That they believe if they achieve this position, they will feel valuable. So this is driven by the insecurity of worth. I'm not good enough until I attain certain position, I attain certain reward, I attain certain result. Those who are studying, when your result is bad, sometimes we feel lousy, we're not able to lift our head to walk in the classroom because we determine our value with result, with whatever performance to determine ourselves. And this happened in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid themselves with fig leaves. So fig leaves is a way to cover our nakedness, our shame, and our inadequacy. We use this fig leaf of achievement, of recognition, a position of title to cover our shame, our nudging voice of telling you you're not good enough. That's why you need something more to hang on the wall to prove that you're good enough. So we desire greatness, first of all, because we are created to reflect the greatness, the glory of God. But because of sin, this sin in a way tainted the desire and we started to manufacture our own glory. And we do this by seeking greatness over comparison, control, and performance. So in doing all this, we are actually avoiding the cup. Second point, the cup we avoid. Jesus tell them that you don't know what you're asking for, and Jesus say, can you drink the cup that I drink? The cup over here in the Hebrew scripture is the cup of wrath, the divine judgment of God. We remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, just now through the song Servant King, we sang the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, remove the cup from me. It is the same cup that Jesus prayed. So we put this thing together. So this cup is more than just suffering. It is a suffering that is tied to obedience. A suffering that is tied to obedience that Jesus willingly took on upon himself. While we avoid, but Jesus, out of obedience, he did it. He took over the cup. And James and John is very quick to answer. They say that we can. He said that we can immediately. I think they're very overconfident because they sign up for the cup. And they sign up for the crown. They did not sign up for the cross. Or they did not sign up for the cup. This is what they are wanting. They want the crown. But Jesus is offering the cup. And then Jesus told them, does it mean to be great? The following verse tells us, what does it mean to be great? Let's read this verse together. Verse 43 and 44. 1, 2, 3. The two keywords that highlighted there is the word servant and slave. These two words are totally different, have totally different meaning. The word servant and the word slave in Greek is totally different. What is a servant? A servant is a hired worker with their rights. They are paid for the job. A servant had a legal identity. A servant is a free person. He can come to work for the boss and he can leave after that the work. And that's why in the early church, the word deacon, it comes from the word servant. Deaconship comes from the word servant. So that's why our deacon, every 2 years or every 4 years, they have the choice to say, I want to stay on or I do not want to. They are free to go. In a way, they are free, they can make a decision. But whereas slave is totally different. Slave is a property who belongs to someone. Do you know that slave is not even called as a person? Slave is a thing. T-I-N-G-H. T-H-I-N-G, sorry. T-H-I-N-G is a thing. A slave is a thing. It's not just even a human being. My handphone belongs to me, so my handphone don't have a say. So being a slave, that means he's a thing that belongs to the master. A slave had no legal identity, and a slave is owned by his master. So being a slave is a lifelong bond to have. So that's why there's a differentiation between deacon and elders. Every 2 years, you can stay on as a deacon. So thank God, you're just those who are new. Phew, the hardest part is 2 years, and that's it. You can just stay on. And those who will stay on a few more years, they're able to continue to want to serve the Lord, tahan a bit. But those who will sign up for elders, these are the slaves. It's a bond, life bond slave. So too late for Ichi, is around here? Yeah. Went for a celebration, but what knows lies behind the... being a slave. And the rest, surely he'll get it one day, huh? Oh, Elder Gary is here. So sorry. One elder is here. Thank God our elder survived. Yeah. Your slave, huh? Agape, singles, there's still hope in marriage. Please continue to pray for your partner. He will not drive you. He's not a slave driver. I think Mark is very intentional to put these two words together. If you notice the word slave and servant, the word slave, if you want to be great, you have to become a servant. It continues to descend. If you want to be first, you become a slave. You see the descent from it. From a slave, even lowest to the... from a servant, even lowest to become a slave. So actually, we can see Mark is intentionally, purposely putting these two words together. Not just being a servant, and more so, he's asking him to go even lower than a servant, is to become a slave. Jesus overturned the whole hierarchy of the world leadership, how the world see leaders. You know, the worldly leaders, everybody has to exalt the leader. The leader is top, high, up, down. And people below him can be expendable. You see those who corrupted leaders in North Korea, all these things. Any of the people below him can be expendable. But I think it's not so for the Christian leadership. Leaders is at the bottom to serve the people up there. Christian leadership is moving downward. The world is climbing upward to achieve, to get leadership. So worldly leaders uses power over others. But Jesus replaces with power under others. So in order to do so, to become a slave, a servant to all, I think the person needs to surrender before God. I think more so, let's read verse 44 again. 1, 2, 3. I think this is very radical. When Jesus defined slave, he defined as slave of all. Slave of all. It's very shocking. I'm willing to be the slave of God. I'm willing to be the slave of Christ. But I'm not willing to be your slave. For Gary, he got no choice. He already signed up as a slave for life long. What does it mean to be slave of all? I think over here it means slave of all. It means that your time is not just your own. It is his. Your reputation is not your own. It is his. Even when people humiliate you, even when people speak about ill about you, the reputation is not for you to keep. It is his. Your comfort is not your own. It is his. You have no right to refuse, no right to select whom you serve. It is his. Actually, when I read this slave of all, in a way, I find it very hard for me to swallow. Because when I first respond to God to serve in full time, I just thought it is just being a servant of God. And it never came to my mind that to be a slave for all or a slave of all. It is easy to be a slave for Christ because we love God and God is perfect. God never hurt us. God never do things that we feel in a way discouraged. But being a slave for all, this all included people you do not like, people that have hurt you, people you see unworthy to serve them. It's never easy to be a slave for all. No way. We all sign up for the crown. We never sign up for the cup. And that's why we avoid the cup. It is so bitter. Because this cup finally it leads to crucifixion. The most dishonorable way to die in the Roman world. Because crucifixion is only reserved for slaves, only reserved for the rebels and the lowest of the lowest. I am not willing to be the doormat for Jesus for people to step on. And that's the reason why to be slave of all, it is so, so difficult. And someone said the reason we run for the cup, it is the same reason we crave for the crown. We run away from the cup because it's so bitter. It's never easy. And the same reason we crave for the crown, it is also the same reason. It's about me. It's all about me. The same thing is all about me. But I think over here, the beauty of the gospel, is the good news is that it's not that the disciples eventually they drank the cup out of their will or they try harder to suffer for Christ. The good news is even we avoided the cup, that Jesus, he himself took over the cup and drank it for us. And that brings us to the last point, that the cross, it is a cross that set us free. The cross that set us free. Verse 45, the word started with the word, the verse started with the word for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served. Jesus did not just finish verse 44 and say that whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all, and then he ended there. Thank God that's verse 45, he said, for, even. The word for tells us what? It tells us the reason, the motivation behind a slave for all. If we just have verse 45 without verse 44, it can sound very crushing. God just demands us to be slave for all. This will become a burden for all of us. Another rules being added onto us, something that is impossible. Then we may start to think, maybe I should try harder. I must sacrifice more. Then maybe I must become the doormat for Jesus. I think the word for changes everything. It turns a command into a gift. It turns a law into a gospel. Jesus is not asking us to do something that he has not done it. He's not sending us to anywhere that he has not been there. He's not calling us to become a slave if he had not become one. And what does a slave over here that became the ransom? A slave who became the ransom in the ancient world, whenever the master encountered danger, the slave had to be the one to step forward to face the danger, to face in front of the sword. If a punishment is given, the master can shun away from the punishment and the slave can take over the punishment for his master. And if a ransom is needed to pay for the debt of the master, any time the slave can be sold to be paid as a ransom for the master. So actually the slave existed for the sake of the master. I think in ending, I want to close off with this story. It's a famous old Russian story about a Russian king and his slave. That one day this king and his slave took a snow slave riding through the snow. And suddenly they hear behind them there's a pack of wolves chasing after them. The horses is trying to run as fast as they can, but slowly the wolves are catching up. And the slaves know what to do. Because in that culture, there was an unwritten law. If the master is in danger, the slave is expendable. Anytime the slave can sacrifice his life for the sake of his master. Because the master's life is more precious than the slave. So the slave stood up from the slave, kisses his master and throws himself off into the snow, into the pack of wolves. He sacrifices himself in order to let his master escape. I think this is a very moving story. This story tells us about loyalty. It tells us about sacrifice. But this is actually not the gospel story. It is actually the opposite of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is a king. He threw himself off the slave to save the slave. The king let himself to be torn apart by the wolves in order that the slave can ride home safely. And this is what Jesus means when he says to give his life as a ransom for many. When Jesus looks at us, all of us in a way we are insecure. We try by comparing ourselves with others. We try to control circumstances to make us feel safe. We try to perform to win approval from others. But Jesus, in a way, had died for us for all this. And he said that, I will be your slave. We deserve the wrath, but he drank the cup. We deserve the punishment, but he took on the cross. We were trapped in the prison of cell. And he's the one who paid the ransom to set us free. While the wolf is closing in, he threw himself off the slave. And that's how Jesus became the servant king for all of us. We're going to take this time to worship the Lord using this song, The Servant King. As we sing and listen to this song, may these lyrics become our prayer to pray to God. All of us, in a way, are called to serve, whether you're deacon or not, you're elders or not, any roles you're given. It's not just about completing a task. It's about giving your life away. And God don't just call some people to be a slave to all. God called all of us to be a slave to all. To all include the people that you do not like. To all include the people that have different temperament with you. And some people can be very challenging to you, but God still wants us to serve them. May not be your choice, but it is whom God has placed in our life to serve. Let's sing this song, Servant King, and let this be a prayer back to God.